How you pay for things and when you pay for things is changing as a consequence of a big corporate deal today. I'm David Brancaccio. The mobile payments company Square, where you can, for example, swipe a credit card at a farmer's market, is buying Afterpay. That's one of a growing number of firms that lets people buy now, pay later, which challenges credit cards, if you think about it, and is increasingly popular with younger shoppers. Marketplace's Nova Safo joins us here with more on what is, on several levels, a big deal.
A big deal indeed, David. It's valued at $29 billion, Square's biggest deal yet. And that gives you an idea of just how important installment plans have become. Afterpay says it's already partnered with nearly 100,000 retailers around the world, including here in the United States. Square, of course, has its payment system for retailers and the so-called Cash App for consumers, and it plans to integrate Afterpay into those services.
Afterpay, not to be confused with layaway plans, which have been around since forever.
Right. I mean, it's basically layaway backwards, right? You're getting what you want and then paying for it, usually in a limited number of installments. So it's similar to credit cards, but they're point of sale loans. You get these installment plans at checkout. They're interest free often, and there's often no credit check, so no impact on your credit score.
If companies like Afterpay often don't charge interest, how do they,
David, there are late fees, of course. and Afterpay and others are also making money from merchants who pay a fee for the transactions. And merchants are willing to pay because people spend more money when they have installment plans as an option. So something for consumers to watch out for.
All right, Nova, thank you. The economy as measured by GDP is about money changing hands. The economy as measured by the hiring and unemployment reports due Friday is about livelihoods. Let's get the first preview from economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives in New York. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the week that concludes with the very closely watched employment report, hiring and unemployment, that will cover the month just ended. Where are your thoughts on this? Have you come up with a number yet?
Well, I'm still working through the details, but it looks like we should have another report that is about on par with last month's, the June report, which was a very strong 850,000 jobs. So we should be in that neighborhood for July as well.
A really key question is what happens in the fall?
Yeah, we're still just dealing with tremendous amount of disruption from the pandemic. People wanting to work from home, people who have moved to new cities, and now the rise of the Delta variant could alter people's preferences and hiring and spending. And so it brings a tremendous amount of friction in the economy.
Julia Coronado, economist at Macro Policy Perspectives, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate minority leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Starting today, fully vaccinated Americans are able to travel to Britain without quarantining upon arrival. Some will make a beeline to the Tower of London, but they also may want to see London Live Theatre. Using a figure from a recent year before pandemic, West End Theatres, the UK's Broadway, did $2 billion in ticket sales, but then came pandemic and now reopening. Live venues across Britain used to employ 300,000 people. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, has been keeping in touch with one actor.
I think being surrounded with people that haven't worked in the last sort of 17 months to now be actually on stage is kind of crazy.
When the bright lights of London's West End theaters went dark last March, Thomas Inge, like many other performers, found himself suddenly out of work. He traded his dancing shoes for a trusty pair of sneakers, and they supported him as a grocery store supervisor through the early part of the pandemic last spring. This weekend, though, Inge got his groove back.
I think we're all pinching ourselves that it's actually happening.
He's taken the stage as part of the ensemble in a production of Singin' in the Rain.
Singin' in the Rain is such a wonderful, uplifting show. But there is a bit of nerves. I mean, it's a new show. I've not done the show before. And we've had a very short sort of technical process to get into the theatre.
The show must go on, but with pandemic guidelines in place. Inge said actors are COVID tested every day, and the directors have even tweaked plot lines and split the cast into bubbles.
So in my dressing room, we don't have two people that cover the same role in case one of them goes down. Our whole dressing room will isolate, but it means they can still do the show because we are not sort of in close contact with those people.
So this is the debating chamber.
At a theater across town, this is one of many concerns top of mind for Eleanor Lloyd. She's the producer of an Agatha Christie play, Witness for the Prosecution, and president of the Society of London Theatre.
It's a huge problem for theatre. There are shows having to be cancelled all over the place.
She said productions can, in many cases, survive shutting down once. But beyond that, it becomes more difficult because there's no ticket income and it's harder to pay workers and rent. The Society of London Theatre estimates 70% of theatres will run out of cash by the end of this year. So they're calling for more support from the UK government to help the industry stay afloat.
We'd like to see a test-to-release system, so if somebody has been a close contact of a positive case, they can be tested, and as long as they test negative, they can continue to come to work. And then the really big thing we need is insurance. We are unable to get cancellation insurance for anything to do with COVID.
Despite the uncertainty, Thomas Inge is hopeful.
Good morning! Good morning!
I've gone to see a few other shows as well over the last few weeks, and it's just been wonderful. And the audience reaction was amazing, and I know ticket sales are doing really well for Singin' in the Rain.
If all goes according to plan, the show will spend the next 5 weeks in London before jetting off on tour to Canada and Japan. In London, I'm the BBC's Victoria Craig for Marketplace.
Singing in the Rain and the Shower, are we? It's Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.